you've lived in Chicago, the Chicago area, most of your life. Now you live in Bloomington Normal. What is the difference?
My family often asks me, how do I like it down here? And I tell them the same thing I'm going to tell you. It is very quiet. It's very peaceful. Yeah, there's some shady parts of Bloomington Normal, but that's true for pretty much anywhere you live. But overall, it's very peaceful. I don't mind it much at all.
What's it like compared to Chicago?
Chicago is a lot different. I can try to say it, but it's almost something you have to experience. There are places where, depending on the time of day, you don't feel as comfortable as going. There are places where you know that they have a reputation that you will not be as welcome there. But all in all, it's different, especially right now. I mean, no matter what, you have the police there, and you always felt like you have a target on your back.
In Chicago now?
In Chicago, oh yeah. But that was even before what was happening. You had a target on your back from, I don't know, just random violence, because rampant gun violence, rampant violence in general, or from the police. And coming from someone who has police in their family, it's almost second nature. Like, one of my first memories is my mom telling me how to respond to police officers. Like, you're 4 or 5 years old. You shouldn't have to do that, but that's the reality where we live.
She was telling you at 4 and 5 years old?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What would she tell you?
Yes, officer, no officer. Just be very, very kind, very courteous. Always show your hands. Don't make it seem like you're being shifty or doing something that they may perceive as dangerous.
Was she explicit in that you may be perceived because you're black as dangerous?
Oh, yeah. That was a given. Even from, besides what she said, just watching, pretty much just watching TV. Because let's be honest, TV in the 90s, they weren't really holding back about what was going on in the world.
Are you referring to shows like Cops? Or what are you referring to?
There's anything. It could be Cops. It could be daytime dramas. It could be anything. They always reference something about race, no matter what. Because remember, like in the 90s, that was right around the Rodney King, the O.J. Simpson, those kind of events in American life. It was always referenced some kind of way.
So when you say they're referenced, it was referenced in a bad way, or just race itself was referenced?
Oh, just race itself was referenced. It could be a good way or a bad way, but you can hear them reference things enough that you kind of get like, okay, I get what's going on. Even as a kid, like kids are a lot more receptive to their environment than a lot of people realize.
You're 4 or 5 years old and your mother is telling you these things. How does a 4 or 5 year old brain process what your mother is trying to tell you?
Well, see, I came from a single parent home. It was me and my mom most of my life. My father died before I turned 2. He was murdered. And that's part of the reason why I'm more a fan of not dismantling the police, but have major reform. Growing up, just being around death and things like that, I guess my mind was actually perceived in a different way. It grew up in a different way. I was a lot more conscious of what was going on. I was a lot more receptive to my environment. I knew, okay, things aren't sunshine or rainbows. It's a darker underlying feeling that people will get in their lives. They will understand that, but normally not at 4 or 5 years old.
You live in Bloomington Normal now. Mm-hmm. You mentioned in Chicago, you always felt or often felt like you had a target on your back.
Mm-hmm.
How does that differ from living in Bloomington Normal?
Well, in Chicago, you felt like you had a target on your back from not just possibly the police, but just other people in general from the violence that I said. In Bloomington Normal, it's quiet, but the feeling of possible reactions from police is still there. My nerves aren't as high about it, but it's still there. I actually have a fail-safe no matter what. People carry their cell phones with them no matter what. I always leave my location on my cell phone. Always.
Why do you do that?
In case something happens. Like, I want there to be a record to show, like, okay, if I'm gone missing, to me, this is a cornfield. This is, they say Bloomington Normal, their cities, but to me, this is a town. Because I'm so used to something bigger. But if something happens to me, I want there to be a record to show, okay, my cell phone is pinging from this tower, from this location. Something happened around here.
You mentioned law enforcement, mm-hmm. and you were involved at Crime Stoppers in Peoria.
Yep.
Still. Even though you live in Bloomington Normal.
Yep.
Okay. And you say you've got family. Mm-hmm. Most of your family, you say, are in law enforcement in some respect, or a lot of your family?
A lot of my family's in law, in law enforcement or military, things like that.
How do you navigate that path as someone who has maybe a history with law enforcement as far as maybe a target on your back, but now you've got law enforcement in your family? What is that like to navigate that path?
Very delicately. I'm involved in social media, like a lot of people in the country. A lot of people around the world, I'm involved with social media. And I'm involved with social media for the Crime Stop because I'm in charge of that as well. So when I see a lot of my friends and family saying something for or against police, I just stay quiet. Because I know I'll be damned if I do, damned if I don't kind of thing if I say something. But I never really post on my own personal social media about anything politics or police or anything like that. And when I do post something for Crime Stoppers, it's not for or against. It's just, this is the facts. Someone's missing. There's a murder that's unsolved. We were looking for this person. I never explicitly point what my thoughts are.
Why are you involved in Crime Stoppers?
My father passed before I was two. And I knew I could not become a police officer. I'm more in tune with my emotions to become a police officer. That could be a good or a bad thing. I just didn't want to discuss it. I just didn't want to try to go into that. But I felt that if I can help the community in any way I can, if I can prevent a child from feeling the pain that I felt growing up, that I feel like it's my responsibility to do that. Because that's a pain no one wants to really feel. It's a hole that never really gets filled much. I mean, it's been almost 30 years and it still kind of messes with you, for me, or at least for me.
So a lot of your family is in law enforcement. Do you talk to them about being in law enforcement, and even more specifically, what it's like to be black and be in law enforcement?
Not particularly. I don't know if this is just a family thing or a racial thing, but at least in my family, we don't really talk about our emotions much. Like my uncle, he's a sergeant in Chicago PD, deals with a lot of high profile cases. I never ask him about it. Sometimes I'm dying to know his thoughts on stuff, but it's like, you know what? He works like 90 hours a week pretty much. It's like, you know what? You work a lot. I'm not going to bring home work for you.
Partly what I was getting at is what we learned in 2014 when Michael Brown got killed down in St. Louis, mm-hmm. that there is a black St. Louis police union and a white St. Louis police union. There are police departments that have problems within their own department with race. Others handle it very well. And I was wondering if your family ever talked to you about that part of dealing with law enforcement while they're in law enforcement.
They never explicitly said, but if they do, I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised. My grandfather, my mother's father, before he passed, he was a police officer for Chicago. Okay. His name was Garvis McGavick. Black man named Garvis McGavick. Those two things seem like a conundrum, right? It doesn't seem like it fits. Well, the police union thought so as well, because his first day he was at the North End of Chicago, a predominantly white part of Chicago. First day there, they thought he was lost. It's like, no, I'm police officer Garvis McGavick. The next week he was down to South Side of Chicago with the other predominantly black population and with other black police officers. He wasn't even there long enough to actually give them an opinion of him.
So I would imagine within the police ranks, the more desirable job is not on the South Side.
Pretty much. As bad as it sounds, it's less crime, as far as you could tell, on the North Side. It's a lot harder to find the crime. I'm not going to say there's less crime there. There's no way to say that. There's probably a little bit more discreet and a lot less bad feelings about police than the South Side. Overall, it's a systematic racism thing. Black people in this country, we've been given the short end of the stick on everything. Short end of the stick on humanity. We've been treated like second-class humans since we've been here. Short end of the stick with jobs. There are people who have a name that people would conceive as ethnic and they would not be given a job just because of the name. They could be just as good as anybody else, but they'd be given the short stick because of their name. Even from slavery, we've been given like the bad parts of food, and we made it our own, and that ended up giving us high cholesterol, high. Pretty much our health is bad because of the food that we've been given and we're growing up with because we're getting short end of stick. And now we're in the parts of the city that were more or less been forced into that have food deserts and have nothing but fast food. Our health is bad on that. It's a lot of things that are like systematic that they may not say directly, you're a second class person, but in the way that they say things and not say things, that's what we're given. That's our belief.
I want to go back to the law enforcement angle. Mm-hmm. What you hear a lot from police as a rebuttal to police violence, brutality, or overreacting to things is that if you just follow what we say, everything will be fine. In your experience, is that an accurate statement?
No. No, it's the fact that we were asked to comply in the first place that seems off.
Comply in what?
Say a police officer comes up right now. Looks at you, look at me. What are we doing? We're sitting here having a conversation. If he comes up to me and asks me, what am I doing here? Where's my ID? And only asking me and not you. Why is that? I am just a person not doing anything, not making any movement, not even aggravating anybody. And I am asked to explain myself. What are you doing here? We shouldn't have to be questioned for everything we do. If you don't get to be questioned for what you do, why should we? I'm acting just as inconspicuous as you are. I remember there was a story a while ago. It was in a southern town. A woman and her son were at home. Someone knocked on the door. It was an angry mob. They thought that the black teen was responsible for a kidnapping of a white child. They wanted them to come out and explain themselves. Even in that crowd, there were police officers. I saw this in the news, I think like this year or late last year. Just because they were black, they were automatically suspected of doing something. The policeman wanted to come in and try to talk to them, like, I need to come in here and talk to you. No, you have no right to do that. You have no warrant. You have nothing to actually try to accuse us of. And we're treated like we're second class people. We shouldn't have to walk around with a target on our backs, or at least the feeling of a target on our backs. We shouldn't have to tell children this is how you act when there's a police officer around. 4 or 5 years old, it's like, okay, look both ways crossing the street. Things, something simple like that should be on your mind. Not, yes, officer, no, officer. You shouldn't have to be profiled because of who you are.
So we seem to be having a conversation on race in this country. Mm-hmm. Different groups are pushing for that. And unlike in 2014, this seems to be sustained. Do you have optimism that the conversation will be sustained? And if you do, what does that conversation need to look or sound like?
I am very pessimistic when it comes to this. How many years have we been trying to, have we seen something like this happen? Something has come up, there's a big push, but it just starts to fade out. I will admit, this is the longest push for something I've seen when it comes to race. I will admit to that. But I want things to change. I want things to happen. I want things to move in a positive light. And I hope I'm wrong when I say that I feel nothing will change. There's a quote from Family Guy that makes me laugh. It sounded like a joke, but actually it rings true. The black character on there, Cleveland Brown, they were playing a different version of Monopoly. I think it was called like Black Monopoly. Every time they pull something from community chest or things like that, if something bad happens, Peter Griffin looks at Cleveland and says, does anyone ever win at this game? Cleveland looks and says, you don't win, just do a little better each time. If I laughed and chuckled because, yeah, a lot of times you don't win, just do a little better each time, but you just got to keep going.